My sisters and brothers, may the Lord give you peace. Good morning. I'm glad everybody paid attention to my letter about being free to come or not come. I'm glad that you're here. It came out in the cold. It's good to have everybody here. And, you know, there's been some speculation over the years about the Magi, and some conversation about how many there were, and then some conversation about, well, were they all men? Were there women, men? What was this? So there was a friar that I lived with a number of years ago who confirmed that it was certainly men, because there's no question. If the women were there, they would have arrived on time. They would have had useful gifts. They would have made dinner, and they would have cleaned up. Those boys, they didn't do any of that stuff. All right, so that aside, this feast of the Epiphany, I think we tell the story of the Magi, and I think it's helpful and interesting to tell. But the key really is we need to talk about our spiritual journey. How is it that we find our way, that we enter again and again and again into the very presence and experience of God? Because we are all called into that experience and all called into God's presence. And there's no point at which we say, well, okay, I'm done. But it is the lifetime journey of entering more and more deeply into this great experience of God's presence. And so we need to sort of look at, well, what is this about? And we listen to the text from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Oh, you did much better than the 10. There were twice as many people here, and they were not at all bright. So, listen to Isaiah. Isaiah talks about darkness covering the people. But on you a light will shine. And perhaps we sort of think about the world in which we find ourselves. And so much darkness covers our experience. And yet for us, there is the light. There is the light that is Christ. There is the light that is the gospel. There is the light that calls us more and more intimately into this experience of God. And the text will go on to say, indeed, raise your eyes and look about. And perhaps we, for a time, keep our eyes down. Certainly, those people who were in exile, those people who were enslaved, carried the weight of their shame. And often enough, when we don't want to be seen, we put our eyes down. It's like kids in school, when they don't want to be called on, every head goes down. So, but the image, raise your eyes, look about. By what light do we see? By what light, what brilliance radiates for us that we are able to see and to know the very presence of God? Now Matthew, further on in chapter 5, will say, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot hide. So your light must shine before others. So you're brilliant. Yes? Pretty dull brilliance here. You are brilliant. You radiate. So by what light then? What illumines us that we might be light for the world? That if people raise their eyes and allow themselves to be seen for who they are, be seen as they are, the radiance of God shines forth. Raise your eyes. Look about. God's presence is with you. It is no longer about hiding our face or looking down. But in Christ, we have been lifted up that we might stand tall, that we might see clearly. But we must always be careful about what is the light to which we are called? What is the light by which we see? Certainly, we look so much at so much darkness in our world, and so much of the political climate where people just fight. And it is not about the light, but rather it is about saying there's only one way of seeing and only one way of knowing. And yet these Magi journeyed from a very different place. And that brings us to Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, Paul, just as he is always just so humble, says, you know, this revelation was given to me, to no one else, this revelation was given to me. In ages past, they didn't get it. And the boys' club in Jerusalem, they didn't get it. It was given to me. And what is that revelation? The Gentiles are now co-heirs with the Jews, sharers in the same promise. For Paul, a Pharisee, to say this, is quite remarkable. Because the Gentiles were the truly social repugnant other. There was no one, you couldn't say enough bad things about them. And yet, the revelation that Paul's able to talk about is to say, now, these repugnant people, or people who were once repugnant to us, are now co-heirs with us, sharers in the promise. Paul, in the same letter, will go on to say, you are strangers and aliens no longer. You are members of the household of God. You form a dwelling place with Christ Jesus himself as the capstone. So there are no strangers, no aliens, but indeed, even the ones who think differently, who see the world differently, have been gathered in. And how significant that is for us to be able to say, there is no exclusive club. The other thing I think is important to keep in mind is that who is the one who has called us into this experience? Jesus is the one who has called us. God has called us into this experience. And who is the one who has named us co-heirs? It is in Christ, yes? And therefore, nobody can kick us out. So no matter what else has happened in our lives, no matter where our life journey has been, whether there's sin or not sin, whatever is, we have been called into this light to raise our eyes, to look about, to see clearly by the very light that is God, and to see clearly by the light that radiates from one another. It is a powerful image for us because so much of our experience is about who's in and who's out, and what do I have to do to stay in, and what happens if I get pushed out. What happens if there's no boundary? If God's love is all-pervasive and there is no limit to the gift that has been given. And so we're called to live in that light, to see by that light. What if we saw the world through the light of God's love, through the light of compassion, kindness, goodness? And not all of this fracturing and fragmenting that is a part of our experience. We come to the gospel text and we hear the gospel according to. Now, Matthew and Luke tell very different stories of the same event. In the Lucan story, who comes to the manger? The shepherds come. So you pay attention. Yes, good. So the shepherds come in Luke, and who calls them? The angels call them, yes? And then they go back, having had their experience. Here, the Magi in Matthew come seeking wisdom, seeking to know this newborn king, seeking, having studied the stars, having studied the heavens. So they don't have the scripture, they don't have any of those kinds of things that the Jews would have had. They study the heavens, and there they see this unusual event and want to know what it's about. And so they seek out wisdom. They want to know. They seek out the light. They want to walk in the light, want to discover the light. So these three, who hardly could have been Jews, so very likely three from the East, are Gentiles. And that's important for us to look at because in Luke we have shepherds who are the poor. And in Luke's gospel, it is very much about Jesus' relationship with the poor. In Matthew, it is the outsider. It is the Gentile, the one who doesn't belong. And Jesus enters into relationship, calling in even those who have been pushed out, who have been said, you have no place with us. And so from the very beginning, Matthew has the outsiders come and recognize what Herod and all of Jerusalem doesn't understand or know. And the invitation for us in our life journey is to raise our eyes, to be seen for who we are as graced and gifted by God. The invitation for us is to see the world in a different way, so it is not strangers and aliens, and we do not need to be afraid of the stranger or the alien, but rather we all form this one body, Christ. No matter how we know this Christ or this experience of God, we see this through the lens and the light that is God's love. That is what we are called to walk into, to walk with, and to come to know because we have been in that place. See the world, brilliance, radiance, gift. The Magi ultimately come, they witness whatever it is that they see in this child, and they offer gifts. And I think the important reflection for us then is to reflect on our own giftedness. Few of us have gold. None of us have frankincense or myrrh. So what are your gifts? To be seen for who you are is to be seen in your giftedness. So many times we've been told to be seen for who you are is to be seen in your sinfulness. But to be seen through the lens of God's love is to be seen in your giftedness. And so we are called into this journey and to make this journey again and again throughout our lives, to see, to know, and to offer our gift. And really, the only good gift we can ever offer is ourselves. And God has modeled that for us in giving God's own self to us in God's Spirit. And so as we reflect on the journey, I invite you to think about where you've been, where you're going, but also to reflect on your giftedness. And what is it that you bring? And how has that changed over the course of your journey?